They say a story about a Rebbe who was teaching high school boys, and he tells the class one day, we're going to have a special share. It's going to be all about girls. Kids were extremely excited. High school boys loved to hear about this. He told them that he made a big deal about it. He told the boys, don't tell anyone, don't tell your friends, don't tell your parents. We're going to have this unbelievable share all about girls. So the kids are all excited. They come to the classroom. The Rebbe says, close the door. You know, don't let anyone know what's going on. And they're all ready to hear this is going to be great. And the Rebbe sits down and says, okay, we're going to talk about whether or not girls have to hear Pasha Zachar. To say how depressed the boys were about that one is goes without saying. So we're going to discuss tonight the question that comes up every single year in many single homes is whether or not women are obligated in going to hear Pasha Zachar. As we'll see, the question is more than just a halachic question, but it has a very deep understanding and lumdus to what exactly is the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. The Gemara tells us a number, one of the Marmikim is a Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara tells us, it says in the Torah and Pashas Kiseitze, the end of Pashas Kiseitze, which is what we consider Pashas Zachar, where the Torah describes the story of Amalek. So the Torah tells us, Zachar es asher asal lecha Amalek, remember what Amalek did. Then the Torah says, Loi Sishkach. So the Torah is giving us two things. A positive mitzvah to remember, and a Loi Sase, you're not allowed to forget. So the Gemara makes the following drasha. Zachar yachol b'leif, I would have thought that I could remember it in my heart. I keep it in my heart. I don't have to express my feelings. Says the Gemara, Kishu Amor Lo Sishkach Harishchas Aleif. Not forgetting is in the heart. So Amor Ha'amani Mekayim Zachar. So how do I go about actually remembering it? So the Gemara Bepet, you have to actually use your mouth. You have to express the zechira. You have to express the remembering through your mouth. So we see from the Gemara over here that there seems to be two separate things. There's a Maisa Zechira that has to come out of the Peh, and then there's a Lav of Lo Sishkach. Two separate things. There's an Asay and a Lav involved in remembering the story of Amalek. So the question then comes up is, so how often are we supposed to be remembering the story of Amalek? We should be remembering it every single day. It should be one of the Sheish Zechiris. We should have to remember Amalek every single day. Every day we should have to read Mitoch Sefer or not, whatever it is, we should have to read the story of Amalek. Why do we read it once a year? And secondly, if we read it once a year, why is it the now? Why is now, the Shavuos of Purim, the time we chose to read it? So the Tartamima, number two, to his Pirish on Chumash, the Tartamima was the son of the Yeruch HaShulchan, so to his Pirish, the Parashas, Chumash, the Parashas Kiseitze, he writes the following massive Chiddush. He writes, he takes the whole Gishmak out of Parashas Zachar. He says, V'nirli, I think, says the Tartamima, Ki lefi seide kriyaseinu b'tari l'hashlam ha-tari b'chol shana, the way we do the Torah, we finish it once every single year, since we all together read it in Parshas Kiseitze, now when we come to Shavuos before Purim, we think we're going to be reading Parshas Zachar and be Mekayim Mitzvah Deraisa. You already did it in Parshas Kiseitze. What mitzvah are you being Mekayim now? You were Mekayim it already. So when is it ever a shaykh for Parshas Zachar to be deraisa? When they used to read it like in Nardo, when they read it every 3 years. Or the Mishlei Karap Parshas Ubeseder Hashvu, or someone who didn't go to shul Parshas Kiseitze. Or I would add, if someone who wasn't mechaven to be yaitz of the mitzvah when he read Parshas Kiseitze. Most people, when they read Parshas Kiseitze, it's the summer months, right? They're definitely not thinking, hinani mucha mezumin, to be mekayim the mitzvah seisha Parshas Zachar. If it's a kriya deraisa, which is the assumption of almost all the rishonim, it would need to have kavana. So I would assume most of us are not yaitz anyways reading Parshas Zachar, Parshas Kiseitze, because we lack the kavana. But nonetheless, the Tartamima believes that we're all really Yotze and Pashas Kiseitze. So what are we doing this Shabbos? Ulefi zeh masha noigim etzlonu b'kris Pashas u'kaidim purim u'rak minuk chachamim. The whole Pashas Zachar, the whole Gishmak, the whole Tomo is only a derabbanan. It's a minuk. They wanted to get the Kriya in before the story of Purim because Amalek and Haman. But mitzvah deraisa, we were all Yotze in the summer of Pashas Kiseitze. That is the opinion of the Tartamima. It takes away all the Gishmak of Pashas Zachar. The question then is why isn't he right? If Taka, we read it in Pashas Kiseitze, we should have been Yotze the mitzvah. So the Tartamima in that same piece goes on to discuss another Shaila. How often do we have to read it? So the Tartamima writes like this, V'shir z'man shichecha mevor b'brachas dafnun chesam b'beiz duhu yud beiz chaydish. Says the Tartamima, the Torah says, don't forget. How long do people forget things? So if you ask your wife, she'll tell you you forget a lot quicker than you think, right? How long do we forget things? So the Gemara says in Brachas, regarding Avelus, with regard to how long does the feelings is 12 months, have to think about. So says the Torah Tmima, based on that, Cheshmet should come out, that we have to read Parshas Zachar every 12 months. Because if we read it more, if we don't read it at least 12 months, we'll be over the lav of Lo Sishkach. So he understood that the way we figure out how to be Mekayim the Asay of Zachar is based on the love of Lois Ishkach. So therefore we come to the conclusion that we have to read it every single 12 months. Okay? So that's why we read it once a year. So why do we read it? Again, we have to read it every 12 months. So where do you start the 12 months? Why do we always read it the Shabbos before Purim? So the Magen Avraham writes, there's really no connection. Maker, then you don't have to read it. You could read it once every 12 months and be Yaitza also. We read it the Shabbos before Purim because we want to be masmechit to the story of Haman. But really, there's nothing special about this Shabbos. So now the obvious question comes up, what are you doing in a leap year? It's more than 12 months, 13 months. So if that's the case, we're all in big trouble. We were all over a lot of deraisa, lo yishkach, because we didn't read it within 12 months. So because of this problem, the Maram Shik, to his Pirush, the Tarig Mitzvahs, he quotes... The Gemara says 12 months. The wording of the Gemara is Yud Beis Chodesh. Yeah, because over there he's just quoting it with regard to his cheshbon of the frequency. But based on the Gemara, it's 12 months. So if you do the math...
But if you read in Kaparshas Kitetzes,
yeah.
You didn't forget.
So you read it, sir.
I'm saying, even if you didn't have Kavani, you remembered, you didn't forget.
Assuming that people were listening to the Kriya, right. It gets a little sticky, because if they taka listen with full heart, so then they were Yaitza the Mitzvah, so then the entire team is right. If they were totally spacing out, then we're back after the Kash. So you want to say we're somewhere in between. Right. Maybe they were Mechav and the Shei Mitzvah, but they at least heard the story.
Right.
Possibly, that might be the answer to how we get around this 12-month problem. But the Maram Shik writes, he heard from the Chassam Sefer, Upamachas Shoyl Harav Moshe Meir, I asked the Chassam Sefer what to do. So he says that Veheshiv Moron, what the Chassam Sofer used to do was every time it was a leap year, the Pashas Kiseitzi, before the leap year, he'd make a Tanai. What would this Tanai be? If I need to be Yotze the Mitzvah, so I want this Kiseitzi to be my Leni. If not, I'll be Yotze when I get to the Shabbos before Purim. So it seems like the Chassam Sofer was concerned about this problem, and Hitaka was Mechav. The problem is that it's a Mefurish Estir with the Chassam Sofer in a Tshuva. The Chassam Sofer wrote in a Tshuva, Mefurish in Evan Ezer. He writes, Bechol, it's not a problem. The Chassam Sofer writes, over here in the Maidim Zman, and Moshe Shtemach quotes for Rabbi Yisrael Volt, who writes, what are you talking about? Shebe Chassam Sofer gufe be Evan Ezer, Shein Tzarech Lizar, Dibishanamu Berish Yashicha Yud Gimel Chodesh. The Chassam Sofer writes in a Tshuva, and I saw the Tshuva inside, it wasn't made up. He writes in a Tshuva that on a leap year, the Matzias changes. Now you don't forget every 12 months, you forget every 30 months. So writes the Chassam Sofer himself in the Tshuva. He brings a Rai from Irei Chaim, whatever his Rai is. But the Chassam Sofer himself writes in the Tshuva. He doesn't think it's a problem. So everyone asks, what happened when the Maram Shik asked the Chassam Sofer? So they want to tie it when the Maram Shik asked the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was a from Yitzhak. He himself was Machmir. But what he wrote in the Tshuva was what he really believed. What he really believed is it's not a problem.
If you follow that logic,
yeah.
Wouldn't you have to say that somebody who's in a Velus now would have to hold 13 months?
Okay. So that's really the question. So there's a Gevaldik Tshuva from the Divrei Yoyal. Rabbi Yoyal Teitelbaum writes a Tshuva in Arachayim, Shas and Tshuva's Divrei Yoyal, in the last Tshuva in Arachayim. The Divrei Yoyal discusses this comparison, so to say, that the Achronim make between the Loisishkach of Amalek and the Yud Beis Chodesh over in Ovel. And the Sama Rebbe has very big issues with the comparison. First of all, he says, well, I don't understand. Says the Sama Rebbe, you don't think Chazal knew there'd be a leap year? All the Paiskim and all the Rishonim, from the time the Torah was written, no one told us what to do in the case of a leap year? If the Achronim are right that it's a din in every 12 months, why didn't some Paisik out there tell us what to do in a leap year? Leap years weren't a new creation. They were around for a very long time. So why didn't anyone ever tell us what to do in a leap year? That's the first time of the Sama Rebbe. Elamai, he thinks, there's nothing to do with a leap year. Leap year is the same as a regular year. Then the Satmar Rebbe says, I think there's also something different. I think there's two separate things over here. There's the Asay of Zachar and the Lav of Lois Ishkach. Tain of the Satmar Rebbe, the Asay of Zachar is a specific time. That's however often it's going to be. But the Lav of Lois Ishkach is forever. We are never allowed to forget the story of Amalek ever. Not just like the Tertimimah suggested, once every 12 months is good and then you forget. No, no, no. You have to constantly remember, constantly not forget what Amalek did. What do you do with the raya that he brought? So said the Sama Rebbe, it's Mam Shapel Dik Araya. He's bringing me a raya from a person who lost a relative. Says the Sama Rebbe, the Gemara is telling you that after 12 months, you have to move on. The person is not coming back. You have to move on and accept the reality that Nebuch, this person is gone. Says the Sama Rebbe, after 12 months, you're ready to reach that realization. But over here, says the Sama Rebbe, why should we ever forget? Why should we forget? We don't want to forget. Forget. By a mace, the agenda is we want you to be able to move on with your life. So we tell you, no, now it's time to move on. Why should we ever? We don't want to forget. Forget. The Torah doesn't want us forgetting what Amalek did to us. We should never forget. So it has nothing to do with the 12 months by Avelus. So the Sama Rebbe thinks it's not true. So the Sama Rebbe concludes, he argues on this whole shtickle Torah. He thinks it's not true. He thinks the Asay of Zachar is specific time. He thinks that specific time is the Shabbos before Purim. And he thinks the Lav Lois Ishkach is all the time. We're never allowed to forget the idea of what happened, and the lav is forever. That's the way the Sama Rebbe held, not like the Shtickle Torah from others. Pashtus. The truth is, if we look in the Rambam, which I hope to get to later today, it sounds like from the Rambam that Zohar is every single day of the year.
Right.
The Rambam sounds like it should be every single day. We should remember it every single day. Why we only remember once a year? So, till now we were saying we're playing it off of the Lois Ishkach. But according to the Sama Rebbe, that's not going to work because the Lois Ishkach is, to me, this is always. The Zohar may be locked into time. So the Sama Rebbe has a whole different approach on the whole sugya. Halacha l'maisi, if you look in the contemporary Gedalia Achrenim, they were not too concerned. If you look in number 7 from the Sefer Ashri Ish from Abel Yashiv's response was that, L'maisa ein lahakpid b'zeh, we're not too makpid on it. Ve'ein tzarech kavanim yuchedes b'kriyas parashas kiseitze, you don't need to have any specific kavanim parashas kiseitze, and we get around the problem of a leap year. So, either you go like the Chassam Sefer, or you'll say another Shtickle Torah, why it's not a problem. So, for all of us that we're not yet to the mitzvah yet, and it's already past the 12 months, we have who to be saimach on. Okay, now to get... So that might be totally if you hold it needs to be mitech dafka sefer Torah, and you have to have a minion for the kriya. That gets a little bit more complicated.
We're on your shir
tonight. We'll see. Actually, we'll see. There's a shita sarayvi that holds yes. We'll see in a second that the Raivin holds is such a shita that learning the halachas is gufa akiyam of amalek. We'll get to that hopefully a little later tonight. If not, we'll talk more about it in Mitzvah this upcoming Sunday's Gemara Show. We'll be talking about that idea. But the question then is, what exactly is this mitzvah of remembering amalek? What are we supposed to be doing? It's clear from the Rishonim that there's two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah called Zocha Esheshah Selach Amalek, remember what Amalek did. And then there's a mitzvah called Mechias Amalek, to eradicate Amalek. They're two independent mitzvahs. So we'll start over here with number 8 with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, questionable who exactly the author of the Sefer HaChinuch was. Was he the Ra'ah? Wasn't he the Ra'ah? It's a debate. But nonetheless, the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Parshas Ki Seitze, he writes a very, very controversial statement. He writes, with regarding the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, which is what we call today Parshas Zoch, he writes the following. He says, mitzvah zu b'chol makim, this mitzvah is anywhere you live. No matter what part of the world you live in, you have a mitzvah Parshas Zoch. Ubechol zman, the man of when in history, post bias, during the bias, bizcharim, only males. Why? Ki lehem lasers halmachama, they're the ones who go to war. The nikmaso ayiv, and they're the ones that are going to avenge our take care of our enemies. V'loy lenoshim, not the women. The oyver azev v'loy zacher, if someone does remember, v'karim v'piv me'olam, so the Sefer HaChinuch is very clear. Women are not obligated in a Parshas Zochar. It's only men. But what's his logic? His logic is because women don't go to war. So the obvious kasha, there's a couple of kashas. Kasha number one is, what does one have to do with the other? Zochar Esheshah Selach Amalek Amalek means remember what Amalek did to us. Who said anything about killing Amalekim? Don't kill Amalekim. Sit in your house, sit in your shuls, and remember the story, and read the story, and read the history books, but don't do anything. Why? It's because women don't go to war. Have anything to do with why they can't remember a story? That's one of the obvious kashas on the Sefer HaChinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, to his peerish the Sefer HaChinuch, number 9, takes very big issue with the statement that the Chinuch made. And he writes to the following. He says, first of all, mitzvah sasei shein as mangroma. He says, the mitzvah of remembering Amalek is a mitzvah that's not dependent upon time. It's not locked into time. So why would women be exempt from it? We have a rule. Any mitzvah that's dependent upon time and women are exempt. If it's not dependent upon time, women are obligated. So they should be obligated. U'befrat b'makim lav. Then he says, 1 second, there's also a lav over here. Women have to keep lav, and the Mishnah says in Kiddushin. Women have to keep lav, and the only lav women don't have to keep is a bal takif, a bal tashkis, with regard to shaving. But other than that, women have to keep lav. So if there's a lav of lois tishkach, you're not allowed to forget. So how do women get around that lav? That's the question of the Minchas Chinuch. Then he goes on further, and he says, first of all, u'mashikosav ki lehem lasos ha'mechom v'loy l'noshim, and the premise that you told me that women don't go to war, it's also not true. Be'emes milchames mitzvah ha'kol yaitzin. We have a rule, the Mishnah says in Saita, that a milchemes ha-mitzvah, everyone goes to war. Afilu kala mechupasai. Even a kala has to go to war. So why does the Chinuch say that women are part of him killing Amalekim? Of course they're obligated. Killing Amalek is a milchemes ha-mitzvah. Milchemes ha-mitzvah, women have to go. So he says, kimavor b'shas u'l-ramah perek zayin. Gam ki yomad b'say. Then he says, even in Tim Salaima, you're right to say for a Chinuch. He says, ki ma oimid b'say da-Hashem yisbar. Who told you Hashem's reasoning? Imata machmas ha-nekama. You're thinking that the whole reason is to remember with intent to destroy? Who said that's what Hashem wanted us to do? The Efshik Zeres HaKasev Shin Nisker Sinosai. Hashem didn't ask us to do anything. He asked us to remember. Read it like you would a history book. When you read the Revolutionary War, do you read it with intent to go back and refight it? No, you read it, because to remember history. So maybe that's what Hashem wants to do with Parshas Zohar also. Read it and remember the story and move on. Meizetam, v'anachtu einu yoidim, we don't know why. What about when Mashiach comes, says the Minchas Chinuch? When there'll be no more Amalekim. So according to the Chinuch, why should you bother reading it? If the whole purpose of reading it is to kill them, if they're already dead, why should you read it? What? Okay, good. We're going to get to all that. The Efsher after B.S. Mashiachenu. Sheyichas Amalek Mikol Kol. And he even says, what happens when Mashiach comes? There'll be no more Amalekim. V'lo Yezach Lehem Mikol Malkim Eskira Yetamid. Mitzvah Sasei, we're still going to have to remember what happened. Therefore, Al Kain Tzarech Iyin Depot Enoshe Mitzvah. It's very hard. Yeah, he's assuming. Right. He's assuming that mitzvahs don't go away after Mashiach comes. So Mamele, this mitzvah will be here like any other mitzvah. And he concludes, V'niri L'dechol Ishe Yisrael. Paskins is Minchas Chinuch, all Jews, men and women, chayovim, they're obligated, kemoi kol mitzvah asei she'en hazman kvar. So this is where it all begins, with the famous machlokes between the Chinuch and the Minchas Chinuch. Now to keep in mind, the Chinuch was a Rishon, the Minchas Chinuch was an Achron. So just keep that in mind when we're trying to balance out who should win this argument. One was a Rishon, one was a later Achron. A Choshevid nonetheless, but it was an Achron. So according to the Sefer HaChinuch, women are exempt because of the logic they don't go to war, and according to the Minchas Chinuch, women are obligated for a whole slew of reasons. But how are we going to answer up some of the Minchas Chinuch's kashas on the Chinuch? Yes, some really bomb kashas. Kasha number one is, Minchas Chinuch said women don't go to war. The Mishnah said they do go to war. So the Radvaz to the Pirush HaRambam and Hilchos Malachim comes up with two very geshmaka answers for the Minchas Chinuch's kasha on the Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch's kasha was, how could the Chinuch say women don't go to fight Amalek? Of course they do. That's an example of Mechames HaMitzvah. Mechames Mitzvah, the Mishnah says even Kala. So he says, no, it doesn't mean that a Kala is going to actually leave the chuppah, put on a uniform, get a gun, and go to the front lines. So what does it mean? So he has two pshat. First teretz is that she's not going anywhere. She's going back home. But since her chasen's going to war, Sheva Brachas is over. All Dini Sheva Brachas become bottle, even for her. Even her, she wants to go back and tell her boss, I can't work for a week because I'm on Sheva Brachas leave. No, you're not. Sheva Brachas is over. The moment your husband goes to the front line, Sheva Brachas is over. But not that the wife is actually going to fight at all. That's the Radvaz's first teretz. His second teretz is what the Rashash also writes in Masechta Sota. He says, no, of course we don't mean that women are going to go fight. What does it mean, Kala Mechupas? It means she joins the war effort. Doesn't mean she goes to the front line, takes a gun, and shoots people. It means she cooks, and she bakes, and she maybe is a nurse, or whatever else she does. She helps the war effort. But Avada, there's no tzad that they're going to actually go out and fight. All they're going to do is partake in the war. And therefore, says the Radvaz, this would be an answer for the Minchas Chinuch's kasha on the Chinuch. When the Mishnah says, Afilu kali yetzi mechupas, it doesn't mean we're going to set the women to war. Women don't go to war. They don't fight. Women don't fight. So what does it mean when the Mishnah says women go to war? It means they have to go. They can't say, I'm sorry, I don't even want to be involved in the war. No, you have to be involved in the war, but you're not going to be on the front line. Right, so he'll tell you, but that's not a mitzvah. No, the kasha was, there's a mitzvah to be to kill Amalekim. Women don't kill people. Women don't go to war.
They're assisting.
But that's right. So his Torah, he'll tell you, that's not sufficient enough to be involved in the mitzvah of Mechiyah. We need to really talk more about what exactly is included in this mitzvah of Mechiyah Samalek. Does this mean if you're walking down the street and you see Amalekim, you're supposed to shoot him? What does this mean? No, when we go to war and we get an army together, then everyone has to partake in the war effort, so to say. We're going to see it's an interesting machloikis rishayim actually between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. Between what is the nature of the mitzvah to kill Amalekim? Is it mean if you see Amalekim walk down the street, shoot him? Right. We'll hopefully get to later that Rav Soloveitchik held b'shem his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, or b'shem his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that the Nazis were considered Amalekim. We'll get to that hopefully a little later tonight. So let's say today we have only a very few left, but let's say you see one of these Nazis, you're supposed to shoot him in the head. Or no, it's not a chiv on the yachid. The chiv is when we get together an army, whenever that day will come, according to some Rishonim, it's only once we Mashiach comes, or once we have a melech, all these other things. So then we'll all be together, then we'll go attack the five or a few guards that are left in the world. That's a big machlokes rishayim. The Sefer HaChinuch says no. The Sefer HaChinuch holds the chiv kol yachid yachid. If you see an Amaleki walking down the street, you have to kill him. That's not without a question. Right, that's the question. Is it doyim to the Zayin Amim or different than the Zayin Amim? In the Rambam, it's not like that. The Rambam differentiates between killing Zayin Amim versus the killing of Amalek. So there are some other very creative pshatim in the Acharonim how to get around, so to say, the Minchas Chinuch, Kasha on the Chinuch. For example, number 11, the Avnei Nezer has a great tshuva where he tries to figure out why taka aren't women mechuyev in killing Amalekim. Lamais, they should be obligated. So he says like this, V'hanir b'zeh, d'ini ha-chinuch kasev shegam ha-kol yachid yesh chiyev. The Chinuch argues on the Rambam. And the Chinuch holds the mitzvah of killing Amalekim is not only in war. It's individuals. If you're sitting in your house and a guy comes to do work in your house and you know he's an Amaleki, however you know it. Rav Shachtu says over a story where they quote B'Shem the Noidi B'Yehuda, that they said over that someone, when they knew this guy was an Amaleki, and he said they should kill him in the mikvah. So Rav Shechter said, he thinks the whole thing's a baloney story. He says, you could tell by his features that he was an Amaleki. That's not going to work. And again, if you kill him, you're going to get in trouble. They're going to arrest you. Today, I don't suggest endorsing going around killing Amalekim today, even if you know who they are. Because you're going to get locked up in jail and no one's going to come to defend you. Because it's against the law. You're not allowed to do it. But nonetheless, says the Avdei Nezer, the Chinuch holds that if I see an Amaleki walking, they should, I have a chief to kill him. So women have that also. So why on earth should a lady not be mechuyif? So he writes with a gavalt gechap. It's a mitzvah to say she'ein hazman grama. I'm sorry, it's a mitzvah to say hazman grama. Why? Because you can't kill a malekim on Shabbos. You can't kill a malekim on Shabbos. There's an iser shchit. You're not allowed to kill a malekim on Shabbos. So therefore, since you can't kill a malekim on Shabbos, so the mitzvah is dependent upon time. It's a mitzvah to say hazman grama. I freaked Avni Nezer. What about killing the Zayin Amimim? So he says, killing the Zayin Amimim, we even do that on Shabbos. So what's the difference? So he comes up with a marid gechap. He comes up like this. He says, because killing Amalekim is ba'etzim, you want to kill him. You don't want any more Amalekim in the world. Killing the Zayin Amim is not so much you want to kill them. You just don't want to learn from their bad behavior. So he calls it a melacha shein tzvich l'gufa. Gevaldik, Zakta Avdei Nezer, it's a melacha shein tzvich l'gufa. I don't really care if they're dead or alive. I just can't have them around because I'm going to learn from them. So I have to get rid of them. So how do I get rid of them? By killing them. So it's a melacha shein tzvich l'gufa, which may be a potter. So therefore, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. But the killing Amalekim, I want the death. I want this guy dead for the sake of death. Therefore, that would be usher on Shabbos. And therefore, says Avnei Nezer, it becomes now a mitzvah to say. There's a cheshbon to it. When I'm killing the Zayin Amim guy, I'm not killing him because I want him dead. Maybe I would love for him to be alive. I just don't want to learn from him. I can't pick up his bad behavior. So the only way to get rid of him is to eradicate him. Get him out of the picture. So I kill him. But I don't really want him dead. Yeah, there's a whole discussion. That's what this whole lot. That's why this is a great Avnei Nezer. When A, you learn the sugi melacha shein tzvich l'gufa, or B, you learn the sugi v'asei derech alei saseh. But this is what he times. He's mechalik between the mitzvah of killing Zayin Amim versus the mitzvah of killing Amalekim, and therefore he concludes that killing Amalek is a mitzvah seisha. Ein hazman grama. Oh, mitzvah seisha hazman grama, women are potter. That's what women are potter from killing Amalekim. Oh, they're potter from killing Amalekim, they're potter from remembering Amalek. That's how the Avnei Nezer gets around it. If Salvechik held a different reason to why women are potter, in number 12 in Harei Kedem, he quotes from this Ramban. That the Ramban quotes a Ravid to his pirish to Teres Kainim. The Ravid quotes a pirish in Pashas Bechukaisa, a Moridika Ravid on the Teres Kainim. The Ravid writes that what does it mean, Zachar? Zach the Ravid, number 12, he says like this, the Hainu Shetei Shoine Beficha Hilchas Megillah. How do you remember Amalek? Says the Ravid, you learn Hilchas Megillah. Moridik arrived. We'll talk about Mitzvah Shem more Sunday morning. So Rav Salvechik says, "V'nir Melachin said the Ikar Akim Shazchir Samalik. Why the Alimut Teirish on Yana Melu?" Says Rav Salvechik, "You know how you really mekayim Zarcha Sashar Salachal Amalik? We learn about Amalik. We learn the sugyas tonight. By learning the sugyas, we're really being mekayim it. Therefore, he says, since women are potter from Talmud Torah, so men male they're also potter from Zechiras Amalik. Because according to the Ravid, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalik is really Idei Talmud Torah. And since it's Idei Talmud Torah, women are potter from Talmud Torah, men male women are potter from this mitzvah. That's how Reb Salvechik explained pshat in this Sefer HaChinuch. So we have a couple of pshatim, so to say, in the chinuch of why he held women are potter.
Well, the Ravid sheet is based on the fact that No.
The Ravid. No. Yeah. The Ravid sheet is that he thinks that's what Mekayim Zach. It's based on a Teres Kainim, which for Sunday I photocopied the Teres Kainim. We can see it inside together. The Teres Kainim makes a statement like this: that the way you're Mekayim Zach, whenever the Teres is Zach, you know how you Mekayim Zach? By learning the Inyon, by learning that topic. That's how you Mekayim Zach. So Zach Ravid. Okay, so it says Zach Hashas Al Chalamalik. How do you do that? So you learn the sugya of the mitzvah of Zechiras Hamalik. That's how you mekayim it. We're going to talk about on Sunday. Can you use this to? Can you use learning Maseches Megillah to be a key of reading the Purim story instead of reading Megillah? I'll learn Maseches Megillah. Every yeshiva guy's dream. He doesn't have to go to Megillah. Just learn instead. So we're going to talk about, can you apply that Ravid to that? That's something for Sunday morning, Mr. Shem. So how do we pasken Allah Chalamaisa? Are women obligated or women not obligated? It's more than just our women. What exactly is the purpose of this mitzvah? What are we trying to accomplish by the reading that we're going to have in shul? So the Mechaber Paskins in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Resh Behei Hilchas Dal Parshis Yeshoyimim Sheparshis Zochu Parshis Parah Aduma Chayovim Lekroisim Midereis. Very famous Mechaber. The Mechaber says the Parshis Parah is also Dereis. Oh, big tumble. How could Parshis Parah be Dereis? It wouldn't say in the Torah. There's about 30 Rishonim who suggest that Parshis Parah is Dereis. A lot of shuls today, they're very makbid that they don't give Parshas Parah to a cotton because there's a bunch of Rishonim. The Mechaber is actually in two places. The Mechaber writes, Yeshayim, the Parshas Parah is their Raisa. The Parshas Zach is their Raisa. The Fichach B'nei Yeshuvim Shein Lahem Minyan. Let's say you live in a far-fetched community where there's no Minyan. So the one time you better come to shul with a Minyan is you got to come on Parshas Zach to hear the Megillah. So writes the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. It seems to be that the machloikis between the Minchas Chinuch and the Sefer HaChinuch is in what's exactly the mitzvah of Zechira. According to the Chinuch, the mitzvah of Zechira is not enough just to remember the story. Because if that would be, then women can do that also. It's to remember with intent to fire yourself up, to get angry about, and be ready to kill Amalek when that time will come. So women that don't have the second half of the mitzvah don't have the first half of the mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch said back, no, that's not the pshat, it's an independent mitzvah. Remember, remember, nothing to do with killing Amalek. And that's the way, for a long time, I thought was the Machloek is Minchas Chinuch and the Chinuch, and I found later that the Salvation writes like that also in Harei Kedem. That's the way he also learns pshat in this Machloek is. Machloek is the Minchas Chinuch and the Chinuch is the mitzvah remember, just remember the story. That's all we ask of you. Remember the story like you would any history book. Or no, it's remember with intent to kill when you'll be allowed. But it's not just to remember and remember and say, okay, I remember this like I remember the Civil War. It's I want you to remember and get angry and get fired up and get upset and go get your shotgun ready. Don't take it yet. Have it ready when you'll be allowed to go and use it. That seems to be the machlokes. If that's the machlokes, then a couple things are miyushev. For example, the Kaf HaChaim asks a very basic kasha. The Kaf HaChaim asks, he says, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Parsha Zohar? It's a mitzvah deraisa. We make brachas on mitzvahs deraisa. There should be a bracha. Asher kedushanu mitzvahs zivanu liskar as ma'isa amalek. Why is there no bracha? So the Kaf HaChaim asks this kasha. The Kaf HaChaim writes in number 14, v'atam l'mashe im avorcha al mitzvah sasei dezecher amalek, katzvu amaforshim lefi shal hashchosa im avorchen. We don't make a bracha when we do destruction. V'afilu hashchosa de umas ha'olam, even if we're destroying goyim, bad goyim, amalekim, the worst of the worst. We don't make a bracha on hashchos. So writes the Kaf HaChaim, and he compares it to us not saying halal on the El Pesach. So I don't understand the Kaf HaChaim. If the mitzvah is just to remember the story, where's the hashchosa? We're remembering the story. I'm reading the story like I read the Civil War and the Revolutionary War. Who am I killing? I'm not destroying anyone. I'm not killing anyone. I'm making a bracha that I'm commanded to remember a story. Why is that a problem? Again, if the lumness is, it's not enough just to remember. It's remember with the intent to kill. So there's an element of destruction in this mitzvah. Then already, that we don't do. But if the mitzvah is just to remember a storyline, then I don't understand the Kaf HaChaim.
Well, I understand the if there's no immediate maisa, then
why would it be a bracha?
Isn't that correct?
Well, there is a maisa. The maisa kriya. The reading is a maisa, I'd say. The maisa kriya. However, that's going to work because there's only one person reading it. Well, so Yeshem, if some person reads it, so if Zohar meant I have to read it, so that would be the Maisa, the Zechira. So the Gemara says Zohar bepeh, I have to remember it with my mouth. I, on Shabbos, none of us, unless you're a Bal Kairi, only one person reads it, so maybe Shemei Kain or some other Lomdus is, but there's a Maisa Kriya. So this is the Kaf HaChaim. So I think the Kaf HaChaim only makes sense if the Lomdus is the way we're saying it in the Sefer HaChinuch. Reb Nosson Gestetner in Lohiris Nosson Chelikes and Memzain has a long tshuva where he discusses that he doesn't like this comparison so much. He says one's bracha, one's halal, they're not necessarily comparable. He quotes a Rashba. The Rashba has a shayla. Why don't we make a bracha when we kill people in Mises Bezdin? Why don't we make a bracha? It's also a mitzvah. So the Rashba says we don't want it. We'd rather not have to do it. But Amalek, it's not like we'd rather not kill Amalek. No, we'd rather kill Amalek himself, whether or not comparable. Reb Nosson Gestetner ends up saying a totally different pshat. He says the pshat is because why do we make brachas on any mitzvah? So he says the reason why you make a bracha is to make sure you have the right kavana. That's why it's the whole joke, why do you need a l'shem yichud? The bracha is the l'shem yichud. You don't need another l'shem yichud. That's the purpose of the bracha. The bracha is supposed to give you the kavana, so who needs a l'shem yichud? But in any case, Reb Nosson Gestetner writes that the bracha is supposed to make you mechavan. But this type of mitzvah, you have to be mechavan. That's the whole mitzvah. The mitzvah is to remember. If you don't know what you just did, you didn't remember it. So you don't get any credit. We're going to see at the end of the shir, women will make themselves very crazy to come to shul, and they listen to the 7th psukim, 5 psukim, and you ask them later, what did you hear? I heard Pasha Zohar. What's Pasha Zohar? Yeah, you know, it's Pasha Zohar. If they don't know what just happened, then they don't get any credit. Because it's not just a maisa. You have to understand, you have to actually remember. So you have to have kavana for what you're doing. So there's no reason for a bracha. That was Reb Nosson Gestetner's idea of why there's no reason for a bracha. But in any case, at least according to the Kaf HaChaim's lumnus, it would be much more fitting better with the lumnus that we said from the Sefer HaChinuch. Halacha l'maisa, so how do we paskin? So I think we can be machriya from a Mishnah Berurah. Number 15, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a machlokes between the Trumas HaDeshen and the Magen Avram. The Trumas HaDeshen said, what happens if you live in a community where you can't get a minyan together that often? Really far out, you can't always get a minyan. So when should you bother to get a minyan? So the Chumash HaDeshen says, you better get a minyan for Pasha Zohar. Pasha Zohar, you need to have a minyan, you better make sure to have a minyan for Pasha Zohar. The Magen Avraham says, why? The Chumash HaDeshen said, you better have a minyan for Pasha Zohar and read the Megillah B'Yechidus. But have a minyan for Pasha Zohar. Tanya the Magen Avraham, why? I have a better idea. Come to shul just on Purim, hear the Megillah with a minyan, then hear Pasha's B'Shalach right afterwards. And you'll kill two birds with one stone. You'll be hearing the Megillah with the Minyan, and you'll be hearing the story in Parshas B'Shalach. Why did we pick Parshas Kisetzi over Parshas B'Shalach? They both have the story of Amalek. You'll get it in Parshas B'Shalach. You'll kill two birds with one stone, and you'll come into town only once. That was the svar of the Magen Avraham. Okay, seems to be very logical. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, in number, middle of number 15, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Avalanias Daiti, Ekudina Shalom Magen Avraham Tzarechin. Mishnah Berurah says, I think this Magen Avraham is very hard to understand. Why? Because, says the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, there's a big difference between the story in Parshas Kisetze and the story in Parshas B'Shalach. In Parshas Kisetze, what's the commandment? The whole story. And then it says, Timcha Ezecher Amalek. You then go and eradicate Amalek. And B'Shalach, it doesn't say it. It says, Hashem says, Kimoch Emcha, I'll take care of Amalek. So says the Mishnah Berurah, because Parshas B'Shalach lacks the element of you go and destroying it, you can't be Yotze the Kriya, Parshas Zach and Parshas B'Shalach. So writes the Mishnah Berurah. I don't understand. If all the mitzvah of Parshas Zach is to remember the story is in Parshas B'Shalach also. Who cares that the destroying part's not there? That's not the mitzvah. So l'chayru, the machloikis between the two Mesadeshin and the Magen Avraham is this machloikis minchaschinach and nechinach. If the mitzvah is not just remember with intent to kill, so you got to have those words there, timcha zecher amalek. But if the mitzvah is just to remember, so I can remember Parshas B'Shalach. If that's the case, if the Mishnah Berurah is telling me that he doesn't like the Magen Avraham's pshat, that means the Mishnah Berurah holds the mitzvah is kill, is remember with intent. That means the Mishnah Berurah holds like the Sefer HaChinuch. That means the Mishnah Berurah holds women are pata from Parshas Zachar. So I'd like to believe that the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, that both reject the opinion of the Magen Avraham, hold women are not obligated in Parshas Zachar. That's my conclusion about what the Mishnah Berurah would hold with regard to this shem.
So, but until now, we haven't dealt with the lav side of it.
Right. So what do you do with the lav? So Rebbe Avad Yosef writes in a long tshuva in Yechavadas, he says, what do you do with the lav? So in the pirush on the bottom of Yechavadas, he says, a shtekel teir. He says, there are some lavin that are there just to be mechazik the asay. So if the whole lav is there just to make sure you do the asay, and they're parted from the asay, the lav falls off also. That's how he quotes to get around the problem of the lav. That's how he gets around this kasha of the lav.
The Mishnah Berurah says women are not chaya because they heard it earlier.
No. I think if the Mishnah Berurah doesn't, if he rejects the Magen Avraham's Lamdas, and he thinks you can't be Yaitzah with B'Shalach, because B'Shalach is lacking those words, Timcha Zecher Amalek, that means he holds those are important words. Why are those words so important? The only way I understand those words to be important is if you hold, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that they go hand in hand. I had this Shtekotar by myself. I found later, number 16, I was Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shekivanti, that Rav Soloveitchik said the same Lamdas. He wanted to tell you that the Machloikis, he wants to tell you the same Lamdas, that the Shaila of whether or not you could be Yotze is going to be totally if the mitzvah is to remember and just remember, or is remember with the intent to go out and kill. That's the Machloikis, and that's likewise the Machloikis, Chumadesh, and the Magen Avraham. Right, and since you accept that notion that the Nanam involved in the Muhammad, they're automatically part from the Zakhira. Interestingly enough, yeah.
Yeah, so just getting back to the Bracha issue.
Yeah.
So can we compare it to Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, where there is a Bracha, like Goal Yisrael?
Yeah, that's. So where's the Bracha over here?
Right, where's the Bracha here?
That's the question. I mean, according to Ibn Asik, there's Lamdas. You want to why is it different than Yitzias Mitzrayim?
Right.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's a good point. That's something interesting. Why is that different than this? If they're both remembering involves some form of thought process, they should be the same thing. Well, that's probably why it doesn't have a regular bracha. It has one of these more creative brachas. Right. You know, it doesn't have that. I mean, that would be a nice pshat to explain why it doesn't have its own bracha. That would be a nice pshat why it doesn't have its own bracha. But halacha l'maisa, let's say you didn't read it, Pashas Kiseit, say you missed Pashas Zocha. Halacha l'maisa, a guy missed Pashas Zocha. He was in the hospital, whatever the story was. What does he do? Does he read it, Pashas B'Shalach or not? So I would have thought, no. You're not Yaitse Pashas B'Shalach. Mr. Berurah says no, Aruch HaShulchan says no. If you look in the contemporary Achrayim, they all disagree. For example, not the Gavriel, he writes that you could be Yaitse B'Dievah, the reading of Pashas B'Shalach. Shmuel Kamenetsky is quoted like that you could be Yaitse B'Dievah, the reading of Pashas B'Shalach. So it's very negeya. If a fellow missed Pashas Zachar on Shabbos, and it's even more so negeya for the women. If a lady missed Kriya on Pashas Zachar, and she's going to come to Shul to hear the Megillah on Purim Day, let her come 15 minutes earlier to Purim Day, chap the Kriya Satar on Pashas B'Shalach, and then she has no problem. She's Yaitse all Shitas, even if she is obligated, which I don't think she is, she'd be Yaitz with the Kriya Parshas B'Shalach. I would have thought you can't use Parshas B'Shalach because the Mishnah Berurah says, and the Aruch HaShulchan rejected, but they quote, oh, yeah, Rabbah holds of it, and some other Achroinim. So I am a Vatal Daiti L'Datchem that they believe you could be Yaitz with Parshas B'Shalach. So now, what did the Gedolim of the previous generation, how did they handle the women Shiloh? So again, the way we're sending it up now, it's Machloikis Sefer Achenech Menachas Chenech, possibly a Machloikis Trumas Hadesh and the Mangan Arfa. Number 18, the Shalosh Tshuvas Binyan Siyan, The Aruch Lanei writes that he quotes over here like this, that where did it start that women go to Pasha Zacha? So they blame it on Reb Nosson Adler. Famous Nosson Adler used to refer to him as the Kohen HaGadol, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. The Reb Nosson Adler said the following thing. He said, "B'shem Rabbi Hachos Shebekuhuna Hagoyin, Mayri Reb Nosson Adler, Shehanoshim Chayeves," that women are obligated. So I don't know what the Yekisha girls do, but the Yekisha girls should have to go hear Pasha Zacha. And he was very makbid, even the cleaning help in the house, the Jewish cleaning help, they had to go hear Pasha Zachar. So one of the earliest achrayim that made a comment about Pasha Zachar, I guess after the Menachas Chinuch, was this Reb Nosson Adler. Reb Nosson Adler held that the women have to go hear Pasha Zachar. And then he writes, V'cheina hakti achrov, says Yaakov Etlinger, that's what I also follow. The Aruch Lanei, the Bikurei Yaakov, he held like this with Nosson Adler, that women are obligated. In this tshuva over here, it's an interesting tshuva. The Shoyl wanted to bring an interesting arayah from a Russian brachas. The Gemara tells us the famous story in brachas that we spoke about in this shir many times, about freeing your Eved so you can be Mekayim to have a minion. So the Rosh has it said that the case was, it was Pasha Zachar, and they were short one guy, and they needed a minion for Pasha Zachar. So the Shoyl asked the Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, he says, I don't understand. He had an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is on the same footing as a lady. If women are mechoyev in Parsha Zachar, so why do you have to free the Eved to make him mitzar flaminyan? Let him be like a lady and women are mechoyev in Parsha Zachar. So the Binyan Sin says, what are you talking about? Even if a lady is obligated in Parsha Zachar, she still can't make up a minyan. We spoke about Zimun. Women are obligated in Zimun, but they don't make up a minyan. So there's two separate dinim. There's being obligated in the mitzvah and there's making up a minyan. So you can be obligated and still not make up a minyan. So the fact that the Rebbe Eliezer had to free his Eved is not a raya that women aren't chayiv. Rebbe Moshe Sternbach and Chuvas van Hogge says that he thinks this from Nosson Adler is not a raya to what goes on today. He says maybe Reb Nosson Adler never held women actually have to hear it. He said women have to read it. But Reb Nosson Adler lived at a time where the only way the women were going to read it is if they heard it in shul. They weren't going to just take out a chumash and read it for themselves. But says Rebbe Moshe Sternbach, today where our girls are very educated, they know a lot of chumash, more chumash than the boys, so they'll take out a chumash and they'll read it. So Rebbe Moshe Sternbach was a very big advocate that this Reb Nosson Adler is not a raya that women have to go to shul. It means women have to read it. So take out a chumash and read Parshas Ki Tzeitzit. I've told this to many women who've called me, usually mothers with small kids. Let's go home, open Parshas Ki Tzeitzit and read it from a chumash. That's what Rebbe Moshe Sternbach held. He held that's what Reb Nosson Adler maybe held also. It wouldn't be the best, but it might be the lowest level. It might be a kiyum. In the Shas and Tshuvas, Taras Chesed from Ibshnei Zalman from Lublin, one of the early Chabatzker Talmidim. So he thinks this whole Reb Nosson Adler never happened. He thinks he's not convinced it's ever true. He thinks to say that Reb Nosson Adler ever said it is lehayv lenivra. He thinks this is it's not reliable. He doesn't believe it's true, and he thinks women are not chayiv in Parsha Zach. Just to round off some of the more recent Achrenim, in number 21, the Archas Rabbeinu, the Binyamin Hagim from the Stipler. So it says over here that the stipler Hayimeiras is benoisav afkishay ktanis kdeishi yuchul basic nesses. The stipler used to wake up his daughters early. You can imagine what we're talking about over here. The stipler used to daven early. They used to daven early. We're talking about we're not talking about 11 o'clock to come to shul. We're talking about early, even when they were small. Why? The shmaya kriya zacher. He held they have to come here pasha zacher. So the stipler was a big believer that girls have to hear pasha zacher. However, Reb Chaim Kanievsky quotes b'shem his uncle, the Chazinish, that the Chazinish disagreed. The Chazinish said, "Ein la hanoshim chayeves l'shmaya kriya zacher." Women are not obligated to hear Pasha Zacher. That was the opinion of the Chazinish in a couple of places. So I guess in the Kanievsky family, they had to pick sides. I guess each girl can tie and I hold like the Chazinish instead of holding like my father's stipler and sleep a little later on Shabbos morning. Reb Eliashiv also held that l'maisa women are not obligated, but he said already the minhag today is that women go. Bavad Yosef also writes, it's true, I don't deny it, I think it's true, the minhag is that women go. Does that mean they're obligated? He writes, "Minhag bizmanenu shenoshem yechu l'shmaya sakriya." Women go to hear it. And he says, "A chiddush u'kishen higa gimel pa'amim l'shmaya." If a girl goes 3 years in a row to hear Pasha Zachar, yesh b'zeh mishum chashash neder. She now runs into a problem that it's a shayla of a neder. And if she doesn't want to go this year, she might have to be mata neder. The same discussion comes up in Shofar. If a girl goes 3 years to hear Shofar, or she shakes lulav 3 years, and 1 year she decides she doesn't want to go, there's a whole discussion in Achrayim. If she has to be mata neder, that becomes a neder. She was makabel upon herself. So Rabbi Yashiv says if she did atar sedar and ever shoshana, that knocks it off. But that was his opinion. In the Sefer Kibbutz Halachas, written by a Talmud of Shmuel Kamenetsky, a Rav now in Flatbush, he writes over here on the bottom of the Sefer that predominantly psukim from Shmuel Kamenetsky. So Rabbi Forsheimer, a big pesik in Lakewood, he wrote Ha'aris on the Sefer. So one of his Ha'aris over here, number 23, was he says, Amash Hashem and Pi Baligus Moshe. Rabbi Forsheimer said he heard from Rav Moshe, Shenoshim Einan Chayevis Pasha Zachar. Moshe Feinstein's opinion was, women are not obligated to Pasha Zachar. Someone told me that was also the opinion of Baron Felder, also a very big Talmud of Moshe Feinstein, that he held women are not obligated in Pasha Zachar. And Moshe Sternbach concludes, he said like this, "Ach ba'anusos, if a lady can't, Melovei lebeis haknesses. If she can't come to shul, nachayin, it's right. She yikru b'peh mechumish. Let her read from mechumish. V'chem b'shmias ha-megillah. He holds you can be yaitzah by hearing it from the Megillah. That's a bigger chiddush, that through hearing the Megillah, you can be yaitzah pashazach. So what I always tell people is if you have a 17-year-old girl who doesn't really have too many other responsibilities on a Shabbos morning, she should go to shul. Be mekayim a mitzvah deraisa, why not? You have nothing to lose. But if you have a mother that has four kids and she's trying to get all the kids together and have the Shabbos meal ready, and then she starts hiring babysitters to go to hear Pasha Zacher, I'm not convinced you're obligated to do so. If you want to do that, matayv manayim. My wife goes to hear Pasha Zacher every single year. And every single time I tell her you're not obligated, she doesn't listen. She goes anyways. Okay? She's firmer than I am. But Neker Adin, I think the consensus of most of the Paiskim are women are not obligated in Pasha Zacher. And because women are not obligated in Pasha Zacher, it became a whole tumult, the second kriya for women. Very controversial, the second kriya. What are we doing a second kriya for? We don't just tamazay take out a sefer Torah and reach from it. And also, what do you do with brachas? Do you make a bracha? Don't you make a bracha? It became a big problem. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein is also quoted over here in number 25. Rav Moshe said, "Shein lasses kriyam yuchedus l'nashim." We shouldn't do it. We shouldn't have a second reading. They're not. Why are we taking out a second sefer Torah to read for them? Today it became very niskabel in all the shuls that we have this second reading. So it presents a lot of halachic shaila. So the bare minimum is you have to have at least 10 men in the shul. The chatchila Rabbi Yashiv writes, you should have 10 men who haven't yet heard Pasha Zacher. Good luck finding it, but if you can find it, that'd be great. 10 men who haven't yet heard Pasha Zacher. Someone told me there's a shtibel in Bar Park that you can find it on Pasha Zacher. Some shul in Bar Park, all the, I don't know, latecomers, hospital goers, whatever you want to call them, hatzalah members, I'm not sure. And they talk, have like a 2 o'clock minyan of all the men who haven't yet heard Pasha Zacher. But the many achrenim are very against this relating. They held it's not the right thing to do. So they bring down a geshmaka chab from Nissen Karel. From Nissen Karel, it said you should have the kriya at the end of mincha. Well, he said to do a bigger chiddush. He said after mincha, before the shlishi makes his bracha, roll the Torah, read it, and then conclude with the bracha afterwards. In other shuls in Lakewood, they don't do that extreme. What they do is they make the bracha on the completion of shlishi. Right away, they roll to kisetse and read it then and there. This way, they're not taking out the sefer Torah for an extra reason. But again, today the minhag is in all the shuls today, they all have a second reading, but it presents a lot of halachic shailas, and many of the gedolei achrayim are very against these leanings. But if you're going to go to a shul that does it, you want to make sure they're doing it right, at least having 10 men, and if there's 10 men, you pashas don't make a bracha. If there's 10 men who haven't yet heard it, then you'd be able to make a bracha. There's always the question that comes up, is it zecher or zecher? It's an amazing thing. Klai Yisrael gets so religious about something that doesn't change the meaning of the word. It doesn't change the meaning of the word. Zecher, zecher, doesn't change the meaning of the word. Yet we became so makbid on this for the Parsha Zecher reading. So the truth is, if you look at number 29, it comes from the Mishnah Berurah. It's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote it from anyone. So I was asking someone yesterday, before the Mishnah Berurah came along, what did they do? How did the Rashba read Parsha Zecher? How did the Rambam read? I don't understand. Before the Mishnah Berurah wrote a Sefer in the late 1800s, no one knew what to do. It boggles my mind. I don't understand it. I can't get clear what this is all about. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests we do it both ways. So there's a whole discussion of which one goes first. Which one's the right one? Which is the wrong one? The answer is, doesn't really matter. Question, how much do you reread? So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva and Igros Moshe Chelek Dalet Siman Chof, Rav Moshe writes, you don't have to do the whole pasuk over again. All you have to really start from is Timcha Zecher Amalek. You do Timcha Zecher, Timcha again. Rav Moshe has a whole Tshuva why he thinks that's the right thing to do. But they quote B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv, that Rabbi Yashiv thinks you don't even have to do that much. All you have to do is do Timcha Zecher, Zecher. That's good enough. Rav Moshe didn't like that so much, but others say, that's really good enough. But to read the whole pasuk, it seems like for many of the Quranim that would not be required. But today that became like one of the Yudgim Likim. If you don't read it twice, forget it, you're not Yaitzim. And then Rabbi Yaakov is quoted over here, a very important piece for Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov said, you don't have to know what every word in Parshas Zachar means, but you have to understand the basic storyline. You have to understand what happened. If you walk out of Parshas Zachar and I ask you to repeat what happened, and you tell me, I don't know the Balkari read some words in Hebrew, you're not Yaitzim. You don't have to know what it meant, kol ha-necha-sholim, or what it meant, kar chabaderech. But you have to know that there was a bad guy where I dive and I make a clap on the beam and I tell over the story. I say, everyone should have in mind that there was a story called Amalek. He was a bad guy. He made our lives very hard. He wasn't good to us. And Hashem said, we have a mitzvah to eradicate him. So this way, everyone's yaitzah, the basic idea of the mitzvah. That's really a really basic ma'akiv. Just very quickly over here, the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam writes two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to destroy Zayin Amim, one mitzvah is to destroy Amalek. So with regard to the mitzvah of destroying the Zayin Amim, the Rambam writes, Ukvar Ovad Zichram. This mitzvah doesn't apply today because they're all gone. We don't know who the Zayin Amim are today. We don't know who they are. They got all mixed up. We don't know who they are. When the Rambam writes about Amalek, he writes, V'chei mitzvah to say, La'avet Zecher Amalek, La'avet Zerash al Amalek, Shenemar Timcha Zecher Amalek. So the obvious kash is, I don't understand. If we don't know who the Zayin Amim are, how do we know who the Amaleki are? How could the Rambam not make the same distinction? So they quote B'Shem, Salvechik quoted B'Shem, his father, that his father held a chiddush. His father held that you don't have to be blood relative from the Amaleki to be Amaleki. Any nation that their mantra, their mission is to eradicate the Jewish people, and one more tonight, and they have to also be atheist. They can't believe in God. So if Salvechik held B'Shem, his father, that any nation that has those qualities, they're also Amalek. They might not be Zeresh al-Malik, but they can also be al-Malik. So that's why the Rambam didn't have to write, today we don't have a Malik. We do have a Malik in today. Any nation that has this ideology is al-Malik. Based on that, Soloveitchik held that Nazis have a din of al-Malik, and he held that you're not allowed to accept money from them. He held any payments for the Holocaust is not allowed, because he held, as Macholikis Rishayim, are you allowed to even use property of Amalekim? And since he held that the Nazis were Amalekim, we're not even allowed to use their money, and he held we're not allowed to accept reparations from the Nazis. It was based on a psak that he heard over from his father, Ramesh Soloveitchik. Okay.